Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Well, good morning, First Baptist Church. We are so glad to be with you this morning. Why don't we stand and sing this great song of praise? This is our God. Let's sing this out.
Those walls are rubble now. we worship you. You are our God. You are King. You are King Jesus as well. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for new life. Father, we thank you that you pulled us out of the pit. We thank you that you conquered death, hell, and the grave for us. We thank you that you loved us first and you taught us how to love you. And Father, my prayer is that today every song we sing would be praise to you, that it would come as an overflow of a life lived for you. And Father, if that's not the case for everyone, that this could be a moment of reconnection, of recommitment, of repentance, to draw back to you, to start fresh and new today. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, friends. Welcome to First Baptist Church. We're glad that you are with us. If you are participating online, it's an honor to have you there. If you would follow the prompts on the screen to let us know that you're participating, we would love to know that. In the room, if you are a guest or if it's your first time to be here in a while, we hope you will fill out the worship registration attached to the worship guide, hopefully you received when you came in. If you'll fill that out, you can place it in the offering box as you leave, or you can hand it to me. I'll be at the back door. Either way, we'd love to have that. We'd like to give you a gift in the mail that we would send to you, so we hope that you'll fill that out. We're thankful for that. We pray for a church every week, and we pray for a missionary every week. Our missionaries of the week are Trey and Robin Cates. Trey and Robin are serving in Williamstown and in Barrie, Vermont. And the reason we picked them this week is we have a mission team. We have 12 people in Williamstown and Barrie serving right now. They've been helping this morning with the worship service. They will be conducting a fall carnival this afternoon. They did 3 Bricks and Books outreach events yesterday. They have more events the rest of the week. And then on Tuesday night, another fall carnival in Williamstown. It's a city that has no evangelical church whatsoever. And they're planting a new work. And it's just started. And so we're thankful for that. So pray for them. Pray for the weather to hold out. Pray for their safety and all they do. And then for gospel redemptive conversations for them. It's going really well so far. And then our church of the week is New Covenant Baptist Church here in Albertville. Their pastor is Brad Williams. We love New Covenant. We're thankful for them. We're thankful for their ministry and what they do in our community. Pray for God to move in power among them. But I want to give you a special request for their congregation as well. Their associate pastor and student pastor is Justin Pollock, and Justin is an incredible young man, loves the Lord, has a beautiful family. We have a very specific request for their son. They have 2 children, and their son, Archer, is 2 years old. And Archer has been diagnosed with an extremely, extremely rare and devastating disease that will greatly affect his life, and without the Lord intervening is a very difficult prognosis. So we ask you to pray for Archer. We're going to pray together and ask God to move in his life, and ask God to give them wisdom in all things. There's really only one doctor that knows much about this disease, and they're in Utah. It's just so rare. So we want to pray for them, pray for opportunities to get some information for that as well. So let's lift those 2 requests together, and then we'll carry on in worship. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for what's happening in Vermont today. We thank you that Trey and Robin are sharing the gospel. We thank you that they're living it out, that they're making disciples as they lead Faith Community Church in Barrie. And then as they start the new plant in Williamstown, our prayer is that you would go before them. Your Holy Spirit would lead and guide them. Father, I pray that you would help their mission team who's there this weekend. Lord, we pray for their safety as they travel around that part of Vermont. We pray for redemptive conversations. We pray for divine conversations with people they run into in the store, on the street, in different places. We pray for every ministry and outreach event they're doing over the next few days, that you would give them an opportunity to be a bridge for the gospel's sake. We thank you for that. Father, I take a moment to pray for New Covenant. We pray that you'd move in power there today. We're thankful for their church. We're thankful for their ministry. I pray that you would bring revival there and continue to draw men and women to your kingdom, and let that be their faith family they are a part of. But Father, I take a moment right now, and we agree together asking that you would move in the life of little Archer Pollock. Father, at 2 years old, he needs a miracle from you. So God, I'm boldly asking you to provide that. And then I'm asking you to bring help and comfort and peace and clarity to his parents. Lord, if there's ways we can get behind them in another way, that you'd make that known to us. But we pray for a mighty move of yours among him. We do not pretend to order you to do anything, but we're asking with sincerity that you would do so. Father, I pray for every church in our city today as they gather, Lord, that it would be a special day. Lord, for our upcoming outreach events on Tuesday, as we will participate in the downtown trunk or treat, as we will have light the night at a few homes in our community. God, may we be a good representation of your goodness, your grace, your love, and your mercy this week. And we thank you for that, Father. We pray this in the name of Jesus, amen. Friends, we are going to carry on in worship with a beautiful song, Jesus, Only Jesus. You know it, so sing with us.
Would you stand with us as we, 1 John chapter 5, 13 says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, He hears us. Jesus, only Jesus. We sing this together this morning.
Who has the power to raise the dead? Who can save us from our sin? He is our hope. Holds the keys to set us free. He paid.
their sins by faith.
Their sins by faith. I saw the stream, thy flowing roots of life. Redeeming love has been by thee, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. When this poor, this priest, stammering tongue, thy sight.
Let's sing that last little refrain. I'll sing
thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. Then in a nobler, sweeter song,
thank you that there will be a day we will continue to sing your power to save for all eternity. Father, thank you for that. Lord, thank you for the truth we have today as we open the book of 1 John. Would you speak to us about the love you have for us and what you are at work doing in our lives? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, friends. This is our final week of 1 John. And we've talked all about the love of God and living out the love of God and what that means in our lives and the fact that we must live it out to tell God we love him. Listen to what it says. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, that we love God and obey his commandments. Friends, it's so important that we realize we can talk about God's love all month long, but unless we live it, it's just worth nothing. So we want it to be worth something as we come to the end of this series.
I could write a melody that all of heaven's choir sings, but if I don't have love, then it means nothing.
And I can spit out some holy words, something that you've never heard, but if I don't have love, it means nothing.
If I can't love my neighbor like I love myself,
if I won't my brother cries out for help,
if I'm too proud to forgive before the sun goes down,
in this life that I've been living, what would it mean now? At best, it all means nothing. Without love, it all means nothing. I can dine with the kings and queens, my name go down in history, but if I don't have love, it means nothing. So take the old and make it new, show me how to love like you, 'cause if I don't have love, it means nothing.
If I can't love my neighbor like I love myself,
if I won't move when my brother cries out for help, if I'm too proud to forgive before the sun goes down, then this life that I've been living, what does it mean now? At best, it all means nothing. Without love, it all best, it all means nothing. Without love, it all means nothing.
I don't want to sound like a crashing cymbal. I don't want to be some empty down on my knees, Lord, I surrender. Jesus, help me to love with a love like yours. Then it'll all mean something. I want it to all mean something. And then
I want to move when my neighbor cries out for help. Don't want to be too proud to forgive before the sun goes down. Then this life that I've been living, what would it mean now? At best, it will all mean something. Love, it all means something. The best of it all means something. Jesus, it all means something. Father God, help us to love our neighbors like ourselves. Help us to know what it means to live this scripture in 1 John. Help us to come to the place where we understand and realize that it's not enough for us to say we love you. We have to show it with our lives. Help us to come to the place where we understand and realize that the only real way we can love you is to live it out. And so, God, as we conclude this series, my prayer is that you would do a work in each of our hearts and lives today as we read the scripture about your love. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John chapter 5,
verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. Listen, this is more than just believe He exists. It says He believes He is the Christ. This is a belief on Jesus as Messiah. It's not enough just to say He's real. People all over the world believe that a man named Jesus walked on the planet at some point. But friends, we have to believe on Him by faith. Believe in Him. Grab a hold of what He has for us, where He holds on to us in new life and salvation. And so then John says, if you love God, then you're going to love God's children. And loving others is how we show our love for God, like the song just said. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. I love that. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 11, He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke is the idea, it's a double meaning. It's the idea of, you think of a pair of oxen and they have a yoke that keeps them in line and keeps them moving forward and is what is pulling all of the weight of what's happening, the farming implements behind them. So the idea that the yoke of the Lord is easy and His burden is light, that's one meaning for that. A double meaning for that is this. Understand that when you were a Jewish rabbi, you would take students under your pupils, those that would follow after you everywhere you went and everything you did. And the idea was that they would take upon your yoke. They would learn your character, your ways, and who you are. And so Jesus is saying to, as the great rabbi, the great and true powerful God, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I don't feel like my burden is light. Sometimes I feel like trying to love other people is not easy, right? Anybody have an amen for that one? It's not always easy to love others. It is not. But God tells us that it's not a burden to do so. So how is it that it would not be a burden to live out the commands of God? Well, the idea behind burden is that we would have joy. It would not be burdensome because there's joy in doing it. Think through this way. We can have joy based on who God is. Joy is not circumstantial. Joy is not based on what's happening around you. That's happiness. Joy is based on who God is. I'll give you an example. We're coming up on Halloween. It's Tuesday night. Back in 1995, I had been speaking at a church up on Sand Mountain in Section, Alabama, actually, for an event on Halloween night. And it was a special thing that was happening. And we're using it to share the gospel and all that with teenagers. And it was a great night. And so I was really excited because several students gave their lives to Jesus at that event. So I was driving back home to Huntsville, where I lived at the time and was based out of. And as I pulled, I was living with my parents. I was 22 years old at the time. And so as I pulled in, 23, pulled in there to the house, the driveway was full, so I had to park on the road. And I thought when I pulled in there, I was so excited that people gave their life to the Lord. And I thought it was late at night, but it was Halloween night, and people get into mischievous things on that night. And I thought maybe I shouldn't park on the street, but I really didn't have anywhere else to park this large cargo van I had that had all my equipment in it for evangelism. And so I parked and I went inside with happiness in my heart. I was smiling. I was excited. My mom was still awake. So I said, hey, let me tell you about what happened tonight. This many students gave their life to Jesus. And all of a sudden I heard coming real fast down the road, a car. I thought they're driving awful fast in our neighborhood here. And the next thing I heard was a loud I look outside, and these fine people had taken a pumpkin, and they were driving down the road as fast as they could, hanging out the window, and they threw it at the back window of my vehicle and shattered it all to pieces. Pumpkin shrapnel everywhere inside my van. And I remember thinking how my night went from so excited down to not so good. Real fast, real quick. But I have to tell you, even in the middle of that, I had to call the police and all that stuff and all those things that night. But still, I can remember before finally going to bed later that night thinking these things, thinking, you know what, that was horrible. That does not make me happy. It really makes me mad. But the truth is, I still have so much joy. Why? Because a few students gave their life to Jesus that night. And a little broken window meant nothing compared to that. So when the scripture talks about his commands are not burdensome, it's the idea that in our lives we can have joy. And joy is based off the circumstance of who God is and what he does, his character and all that he is. And so I want to encourage you, if you're dealing with a burden, if you've got something going on in your life, if you're struggling in some way with a problem of circumstance, there's something happening and you're really just, it's hard to get past that. Maybe it was even hard for you to worship in here today. I get it. I've been there. I understand. But I want to give you the surefire antidote to make sure that you are not letting that burden weigh you down. You can still have a burden, but you can have the joy of the Lord in the midst of that, like we learn about here. Here's the answer. It's gratitude. It's always gratitude. Thankfulness. That is the remedy. That is the antidote to a joyless life. If you want to find joy, just stop and be grateful for a few moments. In fact, let's do that right now. This is crowd participation time, so let's just stop for a moment. And if you can help me, tell me some things out loud with a loud voice that you are grateful for, that you thank God for today. You're going to feel better in just a minute, I promise, okay? What are you thankful for?
Family.
Health.
Friends.
Salvation.
Church.
Freedom. What? Friends. What are you thankful for? Amen. Somebody else, what are you thankful for? Amen. What else? How about this? It's going to be pretty warm today. It's going to be 80-something degrees. I'm thankful for air conditioning. Who's thankful for air conditioning, right? So, okay. So that's a good thing. You say, I thought we were talking about real things. Air conditioner is real, friends. I'm thankful for that. Let's start your day. Go back to the beginning of your day. You woke up. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful that you slept? Most likely you slept in a bed last night, or at least a comfy recliner maybe, but you slept. Thankful that you woke up. Thankful that however you got here today. And you made it here. You were able to journey your way, to walk in, to come into this place. And you might not be as agile as you once were, but friends, you got here. Oh, to be thankful for that and what God has done. Listen, if you were in small group this morning, Sunday school small group, I'm thankful that 25 plus or closer to 30 plus teachers took time throughout their week to prepare and to study and to get ready to share truth that we could enjoy because of their effort. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful for the worship team who leads us, the choir and the orchestra and the band and our tech guys. Listen, I'm thankful for a sound system. Without a sound system, you know what would happen? That's what would happen. Thank you, Steve. Very nice illustration. Perfectly timed. Without a sound system, I have to yell. And you guys don't want that. And I don't want that. So listen, and I know some of you are used to a pastor that's a little louder and all that, and I just have to tell you, I love Jesus with all my heart. You'll see it on my face, but I'm not much of I have pastor friends that are pretty good at giving a good shout in their message, but I always joke with them and say, I love Jesus, I'm just not mad about it. But anyway, that's a whole different story. I'm kidding, it's fine to do that. Let's give the Lord a shout, say amen. Woo, that didn't hurt at all. See, that was good. I like it. So you go on about your day. I'm thankful you're going to eat some lunch at some point, probably. God's going to provide some food for you. What a blessing that is. You might get an afternoon nap in today. How awesome would that be? You might get to enjoy some of the beautiful weather out there. Then this evening, you'll go about your day. We could go on and on and on with 100 things to be thankful for. And I don't know about you, but when I'm down, if I can just get out my little gratitude journal, it sits in the middle drawer of my desk. I can pull it out. It's in the very back. I'll just begin to write down a few things I'm thankful for. And if I'm really down, I'll write down more things. The more down you are, the more you should write. And I promise you, gratitude brings joy. And joy lifts a burden. So I want to encourage you that the idea behind this is a joy-filled life of obedience. It is the idea that we can have a joy-filled life of obeying the commands of the Lord. Let's keep going. Verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that we have overcome the world, our faith. And so it's the idea that the faith is the victory. How many of you remember that old hymn, Faith is the Victory? Who knows that? Raise your hand. Not too many of y'all. How many of you don't want to raise your hand? Okay, see, I knew that, so that what the problem was. So faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. The idea, though, is not just that we have faith, it's that we have faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, friends, you can have faith in the wrong thing. Listen, what happens if you have faith in the government? They let down, yes. What happens if you have faith in one political leader? I'll tell you what happens. Sooner or later, somebody else gets elected. What happens if you have faith in your finances? Sooner or later, they're gone. Or sooner or later, they don't meet a need. What if you have faith just in somebody? The truth is, we all let each other down from time to time. Maybe not on purpose, but it happens. We must put the object of our faith in perspective to be able to claim this verse, that faith is the victory here in verse 4. And who is the object of our faith? It is Jesus. I wrote it down this way. Don't just have faith. Have faith in Jesus. Have faith in his salvation. Have faith in his character. Have faith in his power. Have faith in his intent for your life. Have faith in his victory over Satan. Have faith in his defeat of sin. Have faith in his never-ending fountain of grace, like we sang about earlier. Have faith in his love for you. Have faith in his protection. Have faith in his life in you. We can have faith in Jesus. What a powerful thing. No matter what's going on in your life, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Skip on down to verse 12 for time's sake. Verse 12 says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. What does that mean? That's plain and simple. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Amen? Let me say it again. Y'all look quiet today. Jesus is the only way to salvation. No amount of good works will get you there. No belief that there's multiple ways to heaven as long as you're sincere. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. Jesus is the only way to heaven. How do I know so? Because he said so. And so either Jesus is lying and we shouldn't be here worshiping him, or he's telling the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to get to God. No sincere thoughts about other gods will do that. We sang about it earlier. This was all planned to fit this. It's Jesus, only Jesus. Let me give you one statement if you're writing things down, and that is this. This idea that Jesus is the only way, this is the most exclusive truth to ever exist, and it is the most inclusive promise that will ever be given. Let me say it again. It's the most exclusive truth to ever exist, and it's the most inclusive promise to ever be given. In other words, there are some people out there that will say, I can't believe that your religion, your God, says he's the only way. You are excluding so many people, and it seems offensive to them. Well, friends, all I know to tell you is the reality is Jesus is the only way, and it is exclusive. There will be no other way, no other name given under heaven by which men can be saved. Jesus, it's exclusive. But the fulfillment of that is the most inclusive promise you can have, because Jesus tells us whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus draws us. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in me, Jesus, has everlasting life. Jesus includes and wants everyone to come to know him. So whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. So what's our job in that? Our job is simple. Our job is to get people to Jesus. Let's don't overcomplicate it. Our job is to get people to Jesus. In our world, I looked this up on Wednesday as I was doing sermon prep because I wanted to get the latest statistics. In our world, with many billion people on the planet now, every 24 hours, right at 166,000 people die. That's one person that dies every 2 seconds, if you want to put that in perspective as you think through what we're doing. So in the last minute, that would be 30 people that pass away. And, you know, it's an amazing statistic when you stop and think of what that means for us and how that works. Now, what we understand, if you look at just where people live and who they worship in those regions and the amount of people that we know Jesus and others that we're hoping will come to know him, this is probably a low estimate, but I want to give it to you. The low estimate would be that 3 out of every 4 people who die will die and go to a Christless eternity separated from God. 3 out of 4. That means well over, if I'm going to be generous, well over 100,000 people today, before this time tomorrow, will die without Jesus and will spend eternity in hell. Every 2 seconds, think about it. It's like this. Hell. Hell. Heaven. Hell. 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 Heaven. Hell. 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 Can you imagine when you think of it in those terms? And you imagine that someone is passing away every 2 seconds on average, and 3 out of 4 are dying lost. That is overwhelming. So we can sit and be sad, or we can decide and determine what we will do with that. And the scripture has told us all throughout the book of 1 John that Jesus is the only way to salvation. It's told us that he is the way, is the framework by which he gives us grace and mercy. And so what I would say to you and me today is that we must seek to live out what this is telling us, that those who have Jesus have eternal life and those that don't do not. So we must go tell them. We have to pray for the lost. We have to share the gospel with those around us and around the world. We must send others to go to places you and I cannot go, because there are some places we can't go, but somebody can. Guys, that's why we exist as a church, so that others will come to know Jesus. The truth is, we don't exist just so we can gather in here. We gather in here to worship God corporately, because there's something special about that. We gather in here to be discipled, to be trained, to be equipped, to be encouraged, to go out and live our lives all the other 167 hours of the week, so that people can be drawn to Jesus. The book of Jude tells us to snatch others from the flame. That is the calling of God for you and for me. Your calling is not to sit in here. Our calling is to go out there and share the gospel. And so I want to encourage you and encourage myself. Let's live our lives in a way that we show people we love them and that God loves them and that they need him. And so let's seek to do that. Let's keep going. Look at verse 13. This 1 John 5:13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So what does this mean? This is a surefire guarantee of how to get your prayers answered. If you want your prayers to be answered, this is the way. And the way is this: you pray according to God's will. We don't just pray for our will, we pray for God's will. What is God's will? It's God's will that man would be saved. It's God's will that he would do a work in our lives and hold to the truth of the scripture. And so we pray according to his will. Let me give you 2 quotes I found this week. The first one from Robert Law. He says, prayer is a mighty instrument, not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth. Prayer is a fuel that fuels heaven. You say, well, I don't understand how that works. If God knows the future, and he does, then why am I praying about something if he's already going to do it? Listen, all I can tell you is in the book of Ezekiel, we learn that God is looking for men and women to stand in the gap so that he does not have to do certain things that he would desire not to do. And he's looking for us to stand in the gap to fulfill the answer. So the reality is God may be waiting for you and me to get on our knees and pray boldly for someone, for the Holy Spirit to do the work in them. Now, I'm just telling you, in the economy of scripture, prayer fuels heaven, but understand it's according to God's will. And let me give you one of my favorite quotes. George Mueller says this: prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's not that God's reluctant and we're begging him to change his mind. If you're a parent, you've had a child that's tried that on you. They've tried to overcome your reluctance and they want to change your mind and help you realize that maybe you could do something different from what you're thinking. And so they work and work and work. Well, that's not how we do with God. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying a hold of God's willingness. It is what God desires to do and wants to do, and you lay a hold of that. That is what it means to pray in the will of God. So I want to encourage you to pray bold prayers, kingdom-shaking prayers for your family, for your friends, and for the world. Listen, that we could pray more than just let this meal be blessed, more than just keep us safe at school and work, more than just keep us safe as we travel. All those things are great, but that's not very bold. Listen, praying that your meal will be blessed is not bold. It's kind. It's proper. But honestly, it's not bold. Now, praying that God would then allow us the opportunity today to speak his name out loud to somebody else, that he'd open that door, that's getting more bold. Praying that God would, the Holy Spirit would draw that person you've been praying for a long time to come to Christ, and that he would do whatever it takes today to do that in their lives, that's getting bold. Praying that God would do a work in so many others, that's what we're praying for. Pray bold prayers for the kingdom. Now, let's skip on down to the very last verse of 1 John. The last verse, there's five chapters, the very last verse, chapter 5, verse 21. He kind of sums the whole book up with this simple little verse. Look at what he says. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Just that simple. He's taught us about the love of God. He's talked about abiding in him. He's taught us about bearing fruit. He's told us that, listen, that your life will be a reflection of whether you really know Jesus or not. He's talked on and on about these things and what it means to follow Jesus and not having hate in our heart, but having love in our heart. And he sums all of this up. And he ends the book not with some fanfare of I write this to you. No, he just ends it this way. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Why? Because the reality is, at least in my own life, John knew something that I've found to be true in my life, and that is this. Love is so easily directed to idols. Love for God is so easily directed towards something else. It is so easy for me to place my desires above Jesus. It can happen so naturally and so simply in my life. So my prayer for you today, I wrote down, is this. May the one who loves us most help us love him more exclusively. Let me say it again. May the one who loves you most help you love him more exclusively. That we would love him. And how do we love him? We love our neighbor as ourselves. We love others so that he can see that in us. And that's how we tell him. Tell God all day long you love him, but show him that's what love is. So that's what we need to do. That's what I want to do. I hope it's what you want to do. I don't do that perfectly. Oh, it's so easy to direct it to an idol, something that just takes precedent in my life. I want it to be the Lord. So what is our next step from chapter 5? What are we to do with that? The four things we talked about today, let me just hit them one more time real quick. Our love for God and our love for others was never intended to be a burden. You are to have joyful obedience in your life, and me too. It's not just a burden. So if you're struggling with burdens in your life, I would encourage you to go back to gratitude. You can do that daily. It's a wonderful way to do so. But even at this moment, if you need to go to gratitude. Second, faith in Jesus is our victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It's faith in Jesus. Not just faith in doing the best we can, faith in Jesus. The world needs Jesus. He's the only way. So we should pray, we should give, we should go, we should serve. That's our calling. Next, pray bold and pray big. Pray bold and pray big. And we have to all examine our own lives. Have I been praying according to his will or according to my wishes? Sometimes it's a little of both. And then lastly, just simply keep yourselves from idols. That I would keep myself from an idol. How do I do that? In my own life, I have to make a plan. Because if not, it'll creep back in there really easily. So I have to make a plan and stay close to Jesus. Stay close to him. Would you bow with me for just a moment? Their heads bowed and eyes closed. What about your response? As we've spent 5 weeks now in 1 John, and if this is your first week with us, I invite you to go back and watch all these online or listen to them online. But honestly, what you'll see is over and over, John starts with the foundation of God's love through grace and mercy. And then he teaches us to abide in him and bear fruit in our lives. He teaches us that one of the greatest fruit examples in our life will be loving others if we're going to say we love God. He admonishes us to walk away from hate and anger and resentment and walk toward loving others. He speaks openly multiple times about Jesus being the only way to salvation. And he gives us practical ideas, the fact that we must live it out. So with your head bowed, what about you? Can I ask you to stop and examine your own life? Are you dealing with the burden? If so, would you make a gratitude journal? Would you stop and be thankful right now as we were earlier? Maybe for you, you've been praying for someone a long time. I encourage you to make your prayers more bold. Step it up, asking the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do, asking God to move heaven and earth to bring that person to salvation, asking, praying bold things for kingdom-shaking things. If you're struggling with idols in some way, just make some repentance. You can do it at your seat. You're welcome to come right here down front, but you don't have to. You can come here to pray for others. You can come here to pray for yourself. Whatever the case may be, maybe you need me to pray with you or you have a decision to make. If so, I'll be right here. We would welcome that from you. Father God, my prayer is that as we've studied through 1 John, that we would have been challenged by the truth of the scripture, that we will have been encouraged by the truth of your love for us, and that we would be reminded that our love is of little value if it's not lived out with our hands and feet. So God, challenge us in that way, remind us, and may we go be your church, your bride, your faith family in our community, in our workplace, in our homes, around the world. Father, speak to us now. Have your way now. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing, I've Decided to Follow Jesus.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291. Or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.